Just want to focus on one verse out of 1 Corinthians 5, and it's verse 5. Deliver such a person to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. Well, according to both Greek and Roman and Hebrew law, the idea of marrying somebody who was your father's wife was a criminal action. And I think that the Satan here refers then to the local authorities. And he says, you know, this person has got to take the consequence of their perverted actions, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. This means that when Jesus comes, our spirit will be saved. So salvation is personal. That although this body is getting older and shall fade away, our spirit will be saved. We have no immortal soul, but I think you could say, in a sense, that we have an immortal spirit. What I mean by that is that when we die, who we essentially are is remembered by God. And that is why you read about the spirits of just men made perfect. We are not forgotten. All live unto him. God, in that sense, is, as Jesus said, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, because he's a God not of the dead, but of the living, because all live unto him. In the sense that their spirits are preserved, and the spirit will be saved, or immortalized, if you like, in a new body, in a new sense of personal existence, as he says, in the day of the Lord Jesus. So there's no conscious survival of death. We do not consciously survive death. But the spirit will be saved when Jesus comes back, and there is the resurrection, and our spirit will then be saved. Now, this, on one hand, is a great comfort, that who I am, as the sum result of all my experiences in this life, and likewise for yourself, that I shall be saved. That we will not just disappear into sort of nirvana of nothingness. We will not be purely abstract. It's not that there will be no connection between the Duncan of today and the eternal Duncan. There will be, because the spirit will be saved. Now, where that gets a challenge is that I suppose we all rather assume that when Jesus comes, well, we shall be changed. And yes, we shall be changed. Although the context of that statement in 1 Corinthians 15 is very much about the body, which of course needs to be changed. But who we are now is who we eternally will be. And this points up the huge importance of spiritual mindedness and the development of the spirit. And that is something that goes on always throughout your life, right up until the end. And in fact, I think it must therefore get more intense towards the end. So Paul says, though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. So then, this is, I think, what Jesus refers to when he, in John's Gospel, he keeps saying, you can have eternal life and you can have it now. He who believes in me will never die. Well, we will die in physical sense. And as I say, we have no immortal soul. This is not a Bible teaching. So what does he mean then about you can live forever now? You can live the eternal life now. I think he means it in the same sort of sense of the eternal spirit. He means you can live now the kind of life which you are going to eternally live in God's kingdom. So who you are in your spirit, this is so important. Who you are when no one's watching. Who you are in your thoughts as you drive, as you lie in bed at night just before you go to sleep, what you dream about, what you wake up thinking about. These are the things of the Spirit, and it is this which will be saved, who you essentially are. And so I plead with you, don't fill your mind, your spirit, with garbage. Do you really have to listen to the radio all the time? Do you have to have inane music and words that are often just inane going around in your head? Have the scriptures playing. Be spiritually minded. Focus upon Jesus. Ask him to put his spirit into you, to take over your mind, to take over your spirit, because this is the essence not only of the spiritual life now, but of the life eternal.